Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. I love doing this program. I love sharing with you the goodness of God. I find joy in it, and I just want you to know how much I pray for you, all of you who listen to this program, that you can come to know Him and love Him and serve Him more than ever before, that the meaning of the Scripture can be more open to you as it was for me. This happened to me years ago, and the whole Word of God was opened to me in a way never before that made all the sacraments come alive in my life. And I want you to know that as well. So before I take a look at the readings for this Sunday, which will be Sunday, October 15th, the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, I wanted to share something with you from Magnificat magazine, a little excerpt of a work by Father Jacques Philippe. Father Jacques Philippe, he is from France. You can tell by his name. He's a member of the community of the Beatitudes that I've visited a number of times. Beautiful community. And he's a renowned spiritual director. And I want to share with you, because I've been talking about prayer and I've been talking about relating to God and I've been talking about wanting God's will more than your own, which takes faith to do that. And this is what he says. Not a single one of our prayers, when we're praying for something, not a single one of our prayers is ever lost. Sooner or later, each will be answered, perhaps not at the time or in the way we imagine, but when and as God wants in His plans that surpass our understanding. Our prayers are not always answered as we would want, but the fact of expressing them always, just the very fact of expressing our need, always brings us closer to God, leads us forward on our inner journey, and attracts a certain grace that we shall one day see clearly, and that will then fill us with wonder. What is most important about intercession, about praying for the needs of others as well as our own, is not always its material object, but rather the connection with God that is established and developed by means of it. The more you pray, the more you're drawn into a personal relationship with God. That connection will always bear fruit, both for ourselves and for the people for whom we pray. God does not always answer us in the way we would like, since sometimes we need to realize in specific instances that we cannot manipulate God, and we've certainly talked about that. We ask for what we can see and what we think, but God sees infinitely more than we do. So you bring your need to Him, you bring your petition to Him, you pray for it. But understand that God may reveal more to you or come at it from a different angle for you. Trust Him. It is salutary, Father Jacques says, for us to maintain a lively awareness of the absolute gratuity of God's gifts at all times. Otherwise, our relationship with Him as well as with other people can get on the wrong track that leads the logic of love to deteriorate into the logic of human calculation. Think about that. We work it all out as best we can figure out that this is what ought to happen and this is when and where and why and how. But God sees infinitely more than we do. Bring your need. Show Him what your need is. And then say, Lord, teach me how to pray. When God answers our prayers, it is not by virtue of our merits or our qualities, but by virtue of His mercy and His love. The answer to a prayer is not something owed us. It is a gift. I want you to know that gift. I want you to come to trust Him, all of you. Let's take a look before it gets too late here. Let's take a look at the readings for this Sunday, October 15th, the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, as I said at the beginning, from the prophet Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 10. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. Hear that. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day, it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." This was a faith of people, a prophetic word, but it was a faith of people long before they knew the Messiah, long before Jesus came to prove beyond all doubt his love for us and his desire to have him, to have us with him for all eternity. Psalm 23, "I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." That means forever. That's where I want to be, in the house of the Lord. But choose it, brothers and sisters. Choose it. Otherwise, the world, the flesh, and the devil will rob you. They're thieves, marauders. They can take your faith from you. If you just say, "Oh, well, it doesn't matter, it'll all work out." No, God gave us a free will, so we have to make choices and decisions. What's going to help me desire the will of God more? What's going to help me to trust him more? What's going to help me to know his love more? Ask yourselves those questions. Pay attention to them. Husbands and wives, talk them over together. Good friends, talk them over together. When you have a friendship with someone that's really, somebody really committed to your good, talk it over. Psalm 23, "I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." That beautiful, beautiful psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me." And you say, "Well, I don't find verdant pastures, and I certainly don't find restful waters. I guess God doesn't care about me." Rather than saying, "Lord, how can I come into your presence more, where I can experience, the restful waters, where I can experience the refreshment that you want to give me?" Ask him. "You spread the table before me. At the sight of my foes, you anoint my head with oil. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come." You can pray that psalm even when storms are raging around you, because there's an inner peace and an inner assurance for those who have fully committed themselves to the Lord and seek to follow him. There is a peace that comes and a trust that comes. And even in the midst of the storm, it can honestly feel like you're beside restful waters and in verdant pastures. Trust him. He has so much for you. And Paul to the Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 to 14 and 19 and 20. "Brothers and sisters, I know how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in him who strengthens me." In other words, it doesn't matter whether everything is going right on the outside or wrong. I still can experience the blessing and the peace that comes from living with God and in God. "My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father glory forever and ever." Paul knew what it was because he had that intimacy with God, and God has it for you. For every person who's baptized, God has it for you. Come to me. And stay there. Don't just say, "Well, I walked in and I talked to him for a couple minutes and nothing happened." Don't do that. It's establishing a relationship. It's in the relationship that the assurance and the peace and the confidence will grow. It's in our being willing to face our sin that the peace begins to grow. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed. Everything is ready. Come to the feast.' But some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business." In other words, I have more things to do. I don't have time for God. A lot of people in this world are saying that. Are you one of them? Take a look. Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Prophets come telling you the truth. You hate them, so you kill them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.'" How many times have I told you? How many times that as you grow and change, you reach out to others and bring them in, right in the midst? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have saint in front of your name. You just have to be on the path. And you share your journey with others and bring them along beside you. "The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. And the king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. And then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet, cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" There are many ways to look at that particular passage, but the one that I want to mention to you right now is how many times do we on the outside look like we're a follower of Christ and we do all the things externally that we're supposed to do so that people think we're good. People can even think we're holy, and we take pride in that. And we foster that image. But inside, are we filled with dead men's bones? That is, are we filled with anger and bitterness, even hatred? Are we filled with a pride and arrogance that says, "I'll make myself good so God will accept me," but don't really have a relationship with God? In other words, they're counterfeit. How many of us can fall into that category? There are times when people say something to me about, you're so good," or something like that. And I understand their kindness, but it inside I want to say, "But I'm a sinner, and I'm weak just like you are. And anything I have is because God gave it to me. It's not me. I've received it. I surrendered to it. Blessed be God. But I'm not the source." None of us, brothers and sisters, is the source of the goodness and mercy of God. But God wants us to receive it, that we may know it and give it away to others. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.